This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
In his new children's book, our next guest tells the story of a friendship that might seem surprising at first glance. As it happens, the pioneering women's suffragist Susan B. Anthony and the famous abolitionist Frederick Douglass were friends. They had tea together and talked about ideas and how to support each other's causes.
Dean Robbins first picked up on that story in Rochester, New York, where Anthony and Douglass both lived for a while. Robbins is an award-winning writer and the author of the new children's book. It's called Two Friends, with illustrations by Sean Quayles and Selena Alco. Dean, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dean, tell us about when you did first catch on to this story, that Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony were friends.
I've always been obsessed with heroic figures ever since I was a little kid. I've had a whole string of them that I wanted to be like when I grew up. And I love visiting places that are associated with my heroes. So I've dragged my family along to Rochester, New York. And we were there because I knew that both Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony had lived there. I didn't realize there was a connection between the two at the time. We visited Susan B. Anthony's house, which is now a National Historic Landmark, and the tour guide showed us Susan's parlor, where she said, oh, this is where Susan would entertain her friend and neighbor Frederick Douglass for tea. They would sit and chat about freedom and equality, and they pledged to support one another's causes. After the tour, my family and I were walking around the neighborhood where both Susan and Frederick had lived and stumbled on a little park where there was a statue of the two of them doing just that, having tea and talking about making the world a better place. Well, it immediately occurred to me what a great story this would be to tell for kids.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you think about it, they did have a lot in common. They were both fighting for the rights of people who were marginalized in the 1800s, African Americans and women. So what do we know about what that relationship was like?
Well, they both were courageous leaders of their respective movements, and they both were passionate supporters of each other's causes. Anthony pledged to support Douglass in abolition, and Douglass worked very hard to support women's rights.
And they were about the same age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Close to it.
Yes. Yeah, they got to know each other in the 1850s, and they had a lifelong friendship.
I was thinking about what it must have been like back in the day that they were friends. And here's a white woman, an African-American man. This might not have been a friendship that society would smile upon at the time.
It was very unlikely. But the two of them were always taking chances in everything that they did. They both led their movements in spite of widespread scorn and very dangerous threats. And this was just another way that they were both outliers.
And you said they pledged to support each other's ideas, so they weren't just friends. They actually took up the mantle for each other's causes. Do you have an idea about how that played out over the course of their lives? Did they remain friends till they died?
They remained friends. They had a little bit of tension at one point after the Civil War because there was a sense that women could get the right to vote and African-American men could get the right to vote. Was it possible for both of those things to happen? And it looked like it wasn't possible. It was too radical for both of those things to happen right after the Civil War. So people in the abolition movement thought that getting rights for African-American men first was the way to go. That was the sort of real politic of the day. And the women's movement was very unhappy about that. But as soon as the vote passed for African-American men, Douglass called for an amendment to the Constitution giving women the right to vote.
Oh, interesting. So there may be some restorative times there for the two of them.
Yes.
At that point in their lives. And you had to, for this book, you had to kind of imagine yourself into that friendship. Your book is the story of that tea that they might have had together as they talked about their ideas. How did you imagine it and get into that headspace?
Well, the first step, as with any article that I ever wrote as a journalist, is to do a lot of research. And for me, that's the fun part. I read a lot of books about Anthony and about Douglass. I had visited Susan B. Anthony's house in Rochester and walked around their neighborhood. And I just tried to let the story roll around in my head until it felt sort of real to me.
And so what did you think it would have been like, this relationship between them? Do you imagine it would have been kind of warm and informal? Or, I don't know, how did you think about what that would have been like?
I think it was very warm. They lived right near each other. They had tea all the time. They had so much in common. And I think it was informal and friendly.
We're talking with Dean Robbins right now. He's got a new children's book out. It's called Two Friends, and it tells the true story of the friendship between women suffragist Susan B. Anthony and abolitionist Frederick Douglass. Now, you're imagining the tea that they may have had together as they did when they were friends. Did you kind of feel like, you said you wanted to track your heroes that you had when you were a child. Did you feel like you wanted to hang out with these two and that you got to know them a little better?
I did. It's been fun, even after the book has been published, to reread biographies of the two of them. I just love people like Douglass and Anthony, who took on impossible fights to try to make the world a better place. In the 19th century, it was as hard as possible to do what they did. So being with people, I don't think I'm naturally brave myself. So hanging out with people like Anthony and Douglass just in books gives me courage to act a little bit more admirably in my own life.
What was it like seeing the inside of her home?
It's very well preserved. You could really imagine her in all the various spaces. Up in the attic, she had the place where she printed her newspaper, which was one of her pride and joys. She had a whole army of women working to turn this thing out. She eventually had to shut it down because she couldn't make enough money for it. She had trouble with finances her whole life. The women's movement wasn't very well financed back then, so she had to work for decades after it closed to pay off her debt.
And tell us a little bit, if you would, about the illustrations. They're beautiful. This was a team working with you, Sean Quayles and Selena Alka. How did they go about creating these two figures from history?
They're a husband and wife team. They've got a track record of beautiful children's books. I don't really know how they work. As somebody who had nothing to do with the art, I can only marvel over the painterly richness of the illustrations they came up with. I think they picked up on a mood in the text and evoked it beautifully. If you've noticed, they embedded words in everything, and that was a wonderful surprise to me when I saw their sketches. You see words in people's clothes, in the road, in steam coming out of a cup of tea, even in butterfly wings. I think they picked up an idea in the text where Susan and Frederick are constantly reading and writing and talking about freedom and equality, and I think the illustrations show in a poetic kind of way that their words were spreading everywhere and that people were starting to agree with them. I think the illustrations really make this a book about the awesome power of words.
So what did you take away having written this and lived in this sort of headspace with these two major figures? Did it change you at all?
Yeah, I think we're living in a time when people are questioning American heroes, people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, whose behavior didn't always measure up to modern-day standards. To me, it's amazing that Anthony and Douglass's behavior did measure up to modern-day standards, even though they lived 200 years ago. They both insisted that America live up to the highest ideals of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and they never compromised their principles. To me, it's amazing to just wrap your mind around two people who were so far ahead of their time in terms of their moral vision and who were willing to work so hard to make it a reality.
And Susan B. Anthony was arrested at one point, wasn't she, voting illegally at the time?
Yeah, she was arrested after voting in defiance of the law in the 1872 presidential election. She was tried, found guilty, and fined. And she used the opportunity to send a powerful message about women's rights around the world. She defied the judge's order to remain silent in court, famously telling him, "You have trampled on every vital principle of our government. I refuse to pay a dollar of your unjust penalty." So, very inspiring.
Now, you wrote in the afterword, it's a little poignant. They did both win their battles. Slavery was abolished in 1865. Women didn't get the right to vote until 1920, and Susan B. Anthony had died by then. What did that make you think about?
Well, she famously said, "Failure is impossible." That was her last public statement, and I think she knew it was going to happen. And she had groomed successors, so I don't think she died feeling too sad about the way the future was going to go.
These two friendships, at the one hand, it is surprising that, as you picked up on, that the two of them were together, Frederick Douglass, Susan B. Anthony. But on the other hand, who else could understand what you were going through at that time, being up against a huge societal wall there that they were trying to push through for these rights? You can imagine that they might have seen something in each other that nobody else could understand.
It was a lonely fight. There was a small band of reformers, and they tended to cluster around Rochester, a group of them did. Harriet Tubman lived around there, Amelia Bloomer, Elizabeth Cady Stanton wasn't too far away. So I think they drew strength from each other, but they both faced a lot of defeats along the way, so they needed support. And I think sitting down and having tea in Susan's parlor was probably quite a relief for both of them.
So what do you want children to take away from this book?
I hope they'll be inspired. I love the idea of children being as passionate about my heroes as I am. And I hope they'll read the simple story, even kids who are as young as 4 years old, and think maybe I can do something brave in my own life.
Oh, well, it's a fabulous, beautiful homage to their friendship. Dean, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dean Robbins. He's an award-winning Wisconsin writer. He's the author of the new children's book. It's called Two Friends, and it's got illustrations by Sean Quayles and Selena Alko. And the book tells a story of the friendship between women suffragist Susan B. Anthony and abolitionist Frederick Douglass.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.